Hi, and welcome to Soft Spot. If you're a first-time listener, thank you for finding us. And if you're one of our loyal repeat listeners, we really do appreciate you so much. Thank you for listening. Today's episode is a unique one. Usually, there's around 3 to 4 of us huddled up at a table in a conference room of a partner's office or in a glorified closet off of an event venue. That's right, we're homeless. But today was different in a few ways. First off, we went to jail. That's right, jail. Luckily, that was only because today's guests were members of the Pasco County Police Department, so we were there for a good reason. The second thing that was out of the ordinary, we had 8 people at the table. That's a lot. That included me, Chelsea Hamishan, GSF Director of Marketing, as well as our Director of Military Relations, Rick Lamb. But the Pasco PD also showed up in force, bringing 6 guests to join us, including Sheriff Chris Nocco. Half of the gentlemen at the table were former special operators, which was really cool and also very valuable as we discussed the draw of police service after military service. We also talked about the great programs that the Pasco PD is piloting to expedite the police training of former operators. We talked about human performance programs they have going on, and what each of them finds most fulfilling about their police service. So let's see what they had to say.
And then if we want to break it down.
Wow. Global Soft Foundation.
My immediate reaction was, this is awesome. The Special Operations Community. Association for
Special Operations. You have our support. Let's move.
Welcome to Soft Spot. We are here at the Pasco County Sheriff's Department. Is there a more official
Sheriff's
title?
Sheriff's Office.
Sheriff's Office, sorry. We have a pretty large group here today, so we're going to let everyone go around the circle and do a quick introduction to get started.
George McDonald, I'm Chief of Joint Operations at the Sheriff's Office, retired Colonel SF.
Chris Nocco, Sheriff, Pasco Sheriff's Office.
Jeff Harrington, Chief Deputy, Pasco Sheriff's Office.
Jason Rock, Director of Force Development, retired Lieutenant Colonel.
Captain Jared Hill, Captain of Special Operations, former 3rd Group, Lieutenant Colonel.
Phil Capusta, retired Navy Captain, did 25 years in NSW as a SEAL.
Rick Lamb, Director of Military Relations, Global Special Operations Foundation.
All right, thanks everyone. As you can see, we have a very full room right now. So we wanted to start by talking about what led some of these gentlemen, especially the ones you heard who were former military, to seek out this second career in law enforcement. So Chief McDonald, could you talk about that first?
Sure. So a little over 2 years ago, the sheriff was taking a course at MacDill, learning how to think. And he stopped into the War Game Center that I was the director of at the time and offered me a job. He also told me there was a fellow Norwich guy there, so I couldn't pass up the opportunity, and that's why we hired Jason Rock. I have been fortunate not only to walk straight from uniform into this job, but the job really meshes well with what I did in special operations and the role we play in joint operations here in the sheriff's office, because unlike a normal bureau that's strictly law enforcement focused or patrol focused or jail focused, we have essentially everything outside of that to include SWAT, maritime, aviation, canine, special vehicles, emergency operations, force development, the Explorer program, and the volunteer program. So that's why I came over here.
Yeah, and a lot of that's very reminiscent of different, you know, soft offerings. So it seems like it makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, it's all about building a G base.
Mm-hmm. So we're, well, what does that mean? What's a G base? It's
my guerrilla base.
So for everybody who knows what a G base is, we actually had a meeting with Port Richey PD today. Chief McDonald was walking into the meeting. And I said, hey, we're doing everything by, with, and through the PD.
I don't know, so I don't know.
All the SF guys will.
They'll throw some jokes in.
Everyone else looks like it was very profound, so that's great. How about you, Director Capusta?
Yes, I retired out of SOCOM and then worked about a year and a half ago. So worked as a contractor at SOCOM. And really, I look at law enforcement, it's essentially a continuation of service. So you're serving your country in one job, and with the new career, there are a couple of different ways you could go. Both the job itself, and then look for kind of that organizational culture. And especially you talk to a lot of retired military guys, and the one thing they always talk about they miss is the camaraderie and the teamwork. And it's really another set, another team, and you get that family. And I think a lot of it has to do with the nature of the work where, hey, in the military, obviously you're literally depending a lot of times on your life and with someone else. But you see the same thing in law enforcement where, hey, it's a very much a team concept and everybody depends on each other and very close-knit. So for me, it was kind of a cultural fit and enjoying the work itself. So that's what led me here.
So for you, was it kind of a right place, right time thing like Chief McDonald, or were you considering it already?
Well, Chief McDonald actually figures in here because he mentioned he was the director of the War Game Center. I was working actually as a contractor at the War Game Center at SOCOM.
Oh.
And
shocking.
And
new Chief McDonald. From the J-33.
And then, as a matter of fact, and formerly General Hartzell was doing the job I was, and then he ended up going up to Tallahassee working with the governor. So the director position came open, and Chief McDonald let me know, so I applied and was lucky enough to get the job.
Called spot, assess, and recruit.
I was going to say, half the people in this room came here from that day. Well, great. So I wanted to ask you more about the programs that you all offer for people who are former military, especially former SOF, that enabled you to get into these positions and what other people should be taking advantage of that they might not know about.
So a little over a year ago, we briefed some state senators. Senator Wilkinson sponsored a bill, and it was House Bill 333. I remember that because it was an ODA that I commanded, so I'll never forget that number. And the bill passed with flying colors, and what that enabled us to do was to take 770 hours of the Florida Law Enforcement Academy down to 492 hours for former special operators with certain skill sets to clip out of certain aspects of the academy. One example was instead of spending days on the range learning how to draw from their holster, they already know how to draw from their holster. So we elevated things like firearms to come in. If you can qualify with three guns to the Florida Department of Law Enforcement standard, well, then you learn some rules like 776, which is use of force rules, state statutes, and move on to the next block of instruction. So there was a lot of blocks like that that former special operators could advance through quickly. And we have the first ever Florida Law Enforcement SOF Academy going on right now. I actually taught a class on Thursday, critical incidents to two of them, and we did the whole block in a couple hours, and it was nothing different than what they had done for 20-some years in the military with critical incidents. I just put the Florida law enforcement flavor onto it.
So you have a whole course that's made up of former operators that Correct. Are now training on this accelerated platform?
Correct.
And that just started this year?
Just started about a month ago.
Oh, wow. So how many students are there, actually?
So we have two. So we had more applicants. Mm-hmm. And so it's not a rubber stamp, hey, you're in the course. So we actually vetted through all their applications to see if they met the standard. There's a time constraint for how long you've been out of the military to be able to go through it. We also do the background check. So we had more applicants than the two that are in it now that didn't meet the standard mainly for time out of the service. But we're hoping to get more as we get the program pushed through.
Okay, so they're kind of the guinea pigs, though, too. So it helps to have two.
They're the plank holders. We let
there
them
you
know
go.
That.
That's more official sounding.
So we currently have a former SEAL in the full course at night. I went to the night, and there was another Green Beret that went to the night. So we went to the full course. So we let them know every day how easy they got it because of guys that went before them.
But right now, both those two are top in the class.
So impressive.
First group got second right now.
Yeah, one's either first and one's last, so it must be pretty competitive.
Second in his class.
So all the training you're talking about, like the maritime, the canine, does all of that happen here, or do you have different facilities around the county where you do all these things?
So most of the academy training takes place at the academy. It has to be a certified Florida Department of Law Enforcement training area, but our jail is certified. And then we were able to use our new rebel pit for some critical incident training with the academy recently. But for the sheriff's office, we have our range, and then we use multiple facilities to train in. And then we do a lot of exercises with various businesses throughout the county. We did some response drills with the Outlaw Malls out in Wesley Chapel recently. And this morning we had a meeting with Walmart to do some active shooter training at a Walmart after hours.
So, and then whatever training that we can't do in-house, we go out. So we can contract for training. We can go TDY to training. Last week we contracted with QP, Quiet Professionals, and conducted Part 107 drone operator licensing. So I think we had about over 20 people. 26 people in that class. So that was pretty good. Our maritime guys go and get Coast Guard certified. All our pilots are all
IPs.
Well, we have one IP that can train, keep all of our guys current. And right now we have four OH-58s and one H-model Huey. So
and a patrol boat.
So when you guys train a new officer, like how long do they typically stay here? You know, people here for life kind of thing?
I mean, there's people that have been here for upwards of 30 years to, you know, the brand new recruit that comes through that just gets out of the academy, goes through new member orientation, and then transitions into field training.
Right. So the normal progression is you go through the 770 hours of academy.
Mm-hmm.
770.
What did I say?
170.
Yeah, whatever. Whatever it takes.
To be clear,
22, 23, whatever it takes.
You just had 15 bucks.
What are we counting?
Yeah. So once they finish the academy, they come over to the sheriff's office after they've been interviewed. So you can go to the academy and not be accepted in the sheriff's office. Or you can go to a different sheriff's department or a PD someplace within Florida. But once we take them, usually the following week or the following day, sometimes they come straight here to training and they start new member orientation. So that's about 2 months long, and that's just to get everybody up to speed on how the sheriff's office runs. Mm. And then once they finish that, if they're a corrections deputy, we hand them over to the jail. And they do their program, or if they're a regular patrol deputy, we send them to field operations, and they have what's called FTO, field training officer, and they spend a year in that through, I believe, two different phases,
four
phases of that, and then they're assigned as a regular deputy. And so normally, to enter a specialty, because not all of the units within my bureau are full-time units. They're essentially, they're ad hoc, they're additional duties. Normally, it's a year after they finish FDO before they can apply to join a specialty team.
So how long is the whole process on average?
So it's essentially about 2.5 years by the time you're full up and you've got a year under your belt, you know, however long it took you to get through FTO. Mm-hmm. NMO and the academy.
So it's pretty significant, this the special operations course, cutting it down to 492 hours.
Right? Yeah. And they still have to go through FTO before they're.
But it still shortens the whole process.
Right.
Down.
Absolutely.
It's all based off of because of their prior experience that we're able to, like Jared said, clep them out or give them credit for certain aspects. But it doesn't alleviate the fact that they still have to take the Florida state examination to allow them to become a certified member.
Okay.
So, and that was a pretty significant muscle move for the legislature to take and the governor. Because prior to that, the only other exemption for military was if you were a law enforcement MOS in the military, you could do EOT, equivalency of training. Mm-hmm. And essentially, that's anywhere from a month to 2 weeks. And then, you know, as long as you were active duty and you didn't have over
5 years,
5 year break. Okay. And then so you're right in. So it doesn't. So that was no big deal for them. So this allowing them to recognize special operations was pretty significant.
So it was a state law. So are the other counties doing this as well, or are you guys kind of?
They absolutely can.
Okay.
But
you guys are leading the charge, right? Do other states have similar programs, or is Florida unique on this?
We modeled it after Texas.
But it's much better to live in Florida than Texas.
Yeah. Obviously. We know
and
that.
And Pasco County.
Do you have any insights or things you guys can share on kind of like an average day in the life? What are kind of the main things you experience up here?
Really, Pasco is not unlike any other county in the state. I mean, we have very rural areas, and then we have very concentrated, populated areas. So we see the same types of crimes that are across the state and actually, you know, across the U.S. So, I mean, the average day of a deputy is, there is no average day. It depends on, you know, the response or the call for service that they're responding to.
We're going to take a quick break to talk about a GSF sustaining partner, In Situ. In Situ is an industry-leading provider of information for superior decision-making. They design, develop, and manufacture customized unmanned aerial systems and information processing software solutions while providing 24/7 global training services and support. Their platforms, which include Scan Eagle, Integrator, and Blackjack, have logged more than 1 million operational flight hours. And I know that's true because I have a mug that says it. And if it's on a mug, it's true. They also deliver high-quality, combat-proven ISR for both land and maritime missions. In Situ was founded in 1994, and it's a wholly owned subsidiary of the Boeing Company. They're also a fan favorite of the GSF. They always do cool sponsorships at our events like wayfinding and bourbon tasting, so you've got to love that. Thank you, In Situ, for being a great GSF corporate partner.
So the guys who go through the soft program, are they going to start as a deputy, or do they kind of... Okay, so then they still have to do like a next level if they want to do a specialty...
Correct. And just because they've gone through the SOF Academy mm-hmm. and they get out of FTO doesn't mean that they're automatically going to go to the SWAT team or to the scuba team. Mm-hmm. They'll still have to pay their dues. Mm-hmm. However, they're the likelihood of them getting into those specialty teams is probably higher mm-hmm. because of their previous experiences.
Mm-hmm. What are the different specialty teams?
Scuba, SWAT, mm-hmm. K-9, aviation, maritime,
swift water
recovery, hostage negotiations.
And they can get a pilot's license because we all got a license for drones last week.
Must have been a fun week.
Yeah, we're not
did you get the scarf?
Fly,
kamikaze drone.
Did you get the pilot scarf?
I ordered it.
Okay.
It's wings. Plastic.
But he did walk out of the test with his little goggles on.
Scooby.
Snoopy.
Snoopy.
Snoopy. Snoopy. I'm like him now. I can't pronounce it.
One of those dogs.
How are you guys? I know I just went down to Ranger Regiment about a month ago. And one of the things that they're having to deal with is the new kid. And because, you know, they're riding lawnmowers. They're not pushing them. Their bone mass, their bone density is not what it was a generation ago. So when a kid goes through basic training, advanced individual training, you know, infantry school, when he goes through jump school, and then he goes to the Rangers, they usually put him through like a 3 or 4 week orientation program or indoctrination program. They're having to add time to that on the other end, even after that basic Army stuff, just because you had to kind of toughen the kid up a bit. Because they've got kids that haven't been in fights. They've got kids that, you know, they've got to. Are you guys running into any of that with the?
millennial issues.
So one of the things that we've started here was a human performance program that
and
we modeled
that's
after
exactly
what
where they went, yeah.
Right. So we modeled that after what SOCOM has. We partnered with Exos, who used to be on contract with SOCOM, and right now, you know, I'll be able to show you after this the facility that we built out and everything that we've had. I think last time you were here, nothing was built out in it yet.
Correct,
it was just
yeah.
a regular gym. Now it's complete. It looks like you're over at Soxent now when you go in there. And essentially, we've got our trainer Chris Jacquard in there. He is essentially analyzing all the classes that come through. So he gets NMO when they come through. He puts them, develops an individual program for them, and then he can mark their progress as they go through. And then once they go out to field ops, he can do the same thing and get periodic updates on how they're doing and adjust, develop a custom program for them to try and get them where they need to be. He's also, every year we do SWAT Roundup in Orlando, Orange County. He is working with the SWAT team right now on a program to get them in the best shape they can possibly be. Additionally, he's working with Jason Rock on how do we make sure our deputies can get in and out of a vehicle, you know, making sure that their equipment is on properly. Are we wearing it correctly? Are we getting in and out of a vehicle correctly? Are there things you can do to prepare yourself so that you're not, you know, hey, you know, just like when you're wearing a smartwatch, right? It tells you, hey, get up and move around, do a torso twist, you know, do something. Don't just sit in that vehicle all day type deal. And so those are all the steps that he's working. So just a couple years ago, the sheriff instituted the PAT, the physical assessment test. And so it's not a PFT. You know, a physical fitness test, it's an abilities test. So if you sit in the vehicle, the time starts when you take your hands off the steering wheel. You've got to reach in the glove compartment, grab keys, get out of the vehicle, unlock the trunk, grab stuff out of the trunk, fire weapons, go through an obstacle course, come back, do some crazy stuff.
Buddy drag.
Yeah.
Dummy drag.
Yeah, dummy drag. You run about 150 yards or whatever it is, come back, and then get back in the vehicle and put your hands on the steering wheel again. So that had not been done before, and there wasn't a lot of agencies that were doing that. And what we found is that, you know, even the best person over time is going to atrophy or just get fat, right? So the key is to keep them engaged the whole time. And that's what we found with this HPP program, is that normally the gym would get used the month before the PAT. Now we've got people coming in, they understand their programs. They can go through a body fat analyzer that tells them, you know, it's not just, hey, I'm big boned, right? You know, it's hey,
yeah,
I
it's
got
a big gulp.
Yeah, it's my body's imbalanced. You know, I've got too much water, or you know, whatever, or indeed, I have too much fat in my body, and then these are the things I need to do to make it better.
So not only from an individual organizational perspective, but the individual themselves, like Chief was just talking about, is they can take and say, oh, besides being big boned, you actually have an off balance between your right side and your left side. So here's a program to even you out, to make you meaner, faster, stronger, so you are a more highly capable entity that's on the street every single day. And across the board, like Chief said, is there has been a huge influx of people coming in and saying, oh, I don't have to just lift weights or suck weight. I'm doing something that is actually able to benefit me faster. They're seeing more gains quicker, and they're actually being able to do a lot more, and it's directly related to their job.
One more thing.
That's awesome.
One more thing he's recently done for special ops units. We got guys that they work reverse cycle, and they don't do reverse cycle for a month, and then they're back on a normal living cycle. We're talking years. And so I got guys that came to me having trouble sleeping, can't medicate anymore, shouldn't be medicating at all. And you know, I've been on nights for 2 years is what they're saying, and I have trouble sleeping all day. And so it just wears their body out. And so we sent them to Chris Jacquard, and he's like, hey, I got exercises for that. So I talked to the guys that started doing it, and they're like, hey, if I follow his exercise program, when I get off my shift early in the morning, I'm able to sleep all day. And so it's just little things like that to change the guy's mindset, change their, what they can do physically to help them do stuff like sleep so they can do that long-term night shift.
And that's just a facet of the overall resiliency program that the sheriff's got for the agency is if you're mentally tough, if you're physically tough, then you're a better capability. Like I said, that's out on the street.
And I would say, because you were talking about the new generation, I would say the most important thing is mental toughness. That's right, because people always talk about BUDS, basic underwater demolition, SEAL training, and yeah, it's tough, and they have the documentaries, and you see it, but BUDS is about mental toughness. And the example I always use, I think we started with 134 people or something in my class, and the fastest runner, the fastest guy in the O course, and the fastest swimmer, two of them quit, and one of them got med dropped. I mean, empirically, these were the best physical athletes that there were, but than anyone else in the class, but they weren't the most mentally tough. And it's the same thing, and people somewhat self-select coming in, but as long as the guy is mentally tough, hey, he'll go to the Resilience Center, he'll actually work out over the course of his career and take advantage and be strong over time and figure out, hey, yeah, I've got to work nights, okay, I need to make some changes. But by having the guys who are mentally tough, you select the right guys and you get the right people lasting throughout the entire period of service.
True. Right.
So does every person automatically have to go and get like a customized, this is what you should be working on kind of thing?
Yeah, so the way we set it up is we've got swipe access to get into the facility. And so the only way you get into the facility is you have to have gone through orientation with Chris, and then he gives you a workout program, and then you're free to use the facility.
Can I touch on something real quick?
Of course.
Oh, thanks.
You can do whatever you want.
well, yeah, sure.
the whole thing, I mean, I hear the conversations. I think one of the key points to get out there for people who are listening is the fact of, you know, how did this all come about, you know, within the sheriff's office that we're hiring so many people from SOF. And I think it comes down to like some of the things you're talking about, problem solving. You know, the issues that we're seeing within the United States are issues and complexities of problems that you've seen overseas. And so it's better to have people in place that when those bad days happen, have already seen, have already prepared, and know what to do. Because, you know, like we just had a shooting the other day where somebody was firing AR rounds at our deputies. They had to put a shield around the firefighters as they're putting a tourniquet on somebody to save his life. And so those are the type of things that, you know, we know the men and women in SOF have been in those hard combat situations, and it's teaching our own members. Because as you just saw, you know, here in Pasco County, what you just saw in Sacramento, what you see across this country is that those type of high-level critical situations are occurring all the time, and we have to keep gearing up for them and being prepared. And so that's why it's important. One of the things that was unique was that when the chief came on board and Jared, we were about to get hit by a major, a Cat 5 at the time when it was sitting out in the Gulf.
Right.
And so the planning and procedures that they were able to say, hey, look, we've done things for years at the sheriff's office in the state of Florida. We've always done things very well to prepare, but they brought a unique perspective to say, what about this? What about that? You know, we've been in these type of situations. So that enhanced our capabilities. And that's why I say, you know, the amount of money that the military spent on training these men and women, if, you know, we can utilize that right here in our own community, we're way more successful. So that's what I said. I just want to jump on the mic because to give a plug out. There's anybody sitting there listening to this right now, and they're like, you know what? Yeah, what Phil was talking about, the camaraderie. There is a strong camaraderie. I mean, a lot of times the joking, the cutting, the ripping each other and joking around, that's all here. But at the same time is when it's game time and we have to go on the field and go out there, it's great to have professionals that you know you can line up with that in those critical situations, we're ready to go and we're able to save lives in our own community. And I think that's unique too, is that, you know, you're not going overseas to handle critical situations. It's those right in our own community, places where you shop at, places where the kids play. Those are those situations we're dealing with.
So we would love to recruit. You know, we're looking for a lot of people. We're actually looking for some 18 Deltas or PJs. We need some more medics. So, but we'll take any specialty because we're not shy. If you look across who we fired, it's a very diverse, all branches. But we want more recruits in here because it is a lot of training, a lot of dynamics, and it makes us better.
Yeah, that was going through the back of my mind because, I mean, you need confident and competent guys, and that only comes through experience and training. And so if you already have that, then you are a leg up. Have you guys looked at sending some of your fellas to Stark? You know, was it 20th Group, right, up in
Blanding?
Up in Blanding, yeah. Because maybe there's a marriage there that you can grow some Deltas.
Yeah. So right now we've got two 18 Deltas, 10th Group guy and a 1st Group guy. So on this shooting we had 2 weeks ago, one of our deputies got hit in the leg, and it clipped his artery. Mm. So he lost a lot of blood just getting out of the building, and then once he got to the street, continued to lose blood. Now, the young deputy that put the tourniquet on him was just out of FTO.
NMO.
So he's still in FTO, mm-hmm. But that young guy put that tourniquet on him and got it and cinched it up and kept him from dying. So I'd like to say anybody could teach you how to use a tourniquet, but when you got two 18 Deltas, both of them combat wounded, both of them having been Deltas in combat, I think our deputies are listening to them just a little bit harder than they would, somebody teaching CPR, you know, in a big giant classroom.
Right.
When you got these two, you know, pipe hitters telling you how to put a tourniquet on, how to put a pressure, dressing on.
How to reach in and feel for the bullet.
Yeah. So I think that's why we were successful on that day and really keeping our deputy alive.
You say you are recruiting right now, especially for those of you who have gone through it. What's some other advice you would give to someone who is a former or current operator and they're kind of trying to figure out their next step? Is there anything you'd like to say to them? Don't smoke dope. Yeah.
Don't wait too long to apply. There is a time limit from when you get out.
Or actually, apply right when you know you're about to. Mm-hmm. Like when you know 6 months to a year, hey, you're going to be retiring. Mm-hmm. Start applying. Call us then, because there's actually isn't there programs we're looking at in place that will allow people. So I'll let Phil.
Yeah, in fact, I wish I had known this. they have a program. The last 6 months, you can essentially do an apprenticeship.
Yes.
So if you know ahead of time, you can use that time, go to the academy, get FDLE certified so that on the day you retire, you're already certified and can literally one day after retiring join whatever department you want. I found this out about 2 days after I retired. But for anyone who's out there, they have that transition program.
The other one, too, just to put a plug in, our Florida retirement system, which the Pasco Sheriff's Office is part of, it's a 3%. If you're sworn deputy, it's a 3% multiplier. So if you do, you retire, but you want to do 10 more years of work, you'll get 30% of your salary. Or if you put a full career and you do 30 years, you'll get 90% of what your salary is when you retire.
I want to put a plug on top of that. So we keep using the word retired because we're all retired guys. But if you're an ETS guy, you're getting out early, you decided that, you wanted to do something else besides the Army and this looks good, the Florida retirement system will also let you buy back 4 years of what you put into the military towards your retirement. So it just puts you that much further ahead.
Yeah, so we're looking for any guys out of 7th Group that want to come down here, any guys down at the scuba school in Key West, any of you guys out on the East Coast, you PJs and STS guys, that's who we're looking for. You 20th Group guys, all you guys down in SOCOM, whatever it takes.
All you combat hardened 3rd Group guys.
I think we're running out of time, but I wanted to go around quickly and have you all kind of say what you think is the most fulfilling part of this job, since a lot of finding your next career is about finding, fulfillment, especially after you are active duty.
Sure. So the number one thing is we all join the military for a reason. We all joined Special Operations for a reason, and the number one thing is you wanted to work with a core of trained people, and you wanted to help people. You know, so I know for Special Forces, Dio Presso Liber, you know, free the oppressed, that, you know, it's all about helping the citizens. And in Pasco County, the motto is fight as one. You know, we fight as one. That's what brought me here.
I think for me, you know, I wish I could be out on the road more or doing more of the frontline work, but I know my role's responsibility is administration. So my greatest pleasure is when you see the women and men in this organization are excited to come to work, are happy to come to work, and they feel supported, because then I know the citizens are better served.
Everyone I've met so far seems very happy, so.
That's because all around this table.
I met very some happy. Other people walking
very
in.
Very happy, sir. Thank you.
Carl? No, just it's great to be able to help create a command climate that's supportive, and the men and women of the office want to go out and aggressively defend those that are have difficulty defending themselves, and make sure that the people who prey on others go to jail like they belong.
I think it's the ability to continue to serve. I mean, the sole reason why we joined the military was there's this innate desire to be a patriot. And when you retire, you kind of look at the world and you're like, wow, this is the kind of end. But this is an opportunity where that you go from defending from across the seas to where now we can continue to serve and defend on the homeland. And for me, that's been the largest reason why, is that continue to be that local patriot.
I want to second what Colonel Harrington said. The command climate here in Pasco is awesome. The command climate that Sheriff Nocco and Colonel Harrington and Chief McDonald all set forth us is awesome. I feel like I'm on an ODA every day in a team room, supporting a task force downrange, and every day it's something different, but we're also seem to be like we're prepared for it every day, but we continue to prepare for the unknown. And that command climate is just something that I'm proud to be part of.
I don't want to date myself too much, but I'm a big Lou Holtz fan, so former Notre Dame coach, but he has a very simple test. Hey, can I trust you? Are you committed to excellence? And do you care? So that's really what you want, is you want to work in an environment where, hey, you can trust people, committed to excellence, and they care, and that's what you find here.
He's also from West Virginia.
Thank you, Norm. Go, Matt.
I'd just like to take a minute to thank you guys. I mean, I'm the son of a career law enforcement guy. Started out as a deputy sheriff in Polk County, Iowa, and retired as a lieutenant off of the Des Moines Police Department. So when I look at you guys, I see my dad. I mean, I see the guy that I idolized, you know, the guy that I wanted to be. I mean, there was only two things I ever wanted to be in my life. You know, one was a cop, the other was an Army guy. So I joined the Army after high school and never put the rifle down. But my hat's off to you guys for what you do, especially in this day and age. And there is a level of camaraderie and comfort around this table that is just, it's like being at home.
Absolutely.
I can never say anything better than Rick, so thank you so much. Appreciate it. Thanks for your time and your service.
Soft Spot is brought to you by the Global Soft Foundation, a 501c3 based in Tampa, Florida. If you're new to us, you can find out more about the foundation at gsoft.org. That's Gulf Sierra October Foxtrot.org.